Hi everyone, this is Marsha, and I'm the director and founder of the Brooklyn Caribbean Literary Festival. I'm thrilled and elated to announce the birth and launch of our brand new podcast, CocoaPod. Consider the aromatic CocoaPod and how, after carefully ripening under the Caribbean sun, it generously offers up its rich fruit in due season. CocoaPod by BCLF aims to provide a similar delight. Each episode is a seed, a nugget of an original Caribbean story told in the voice of its writer. Each story, an infinite gift by the offshoot of an ancient griot tradition. As a whole, Caribbean stories are like a mighty tree whose branches extend, offering shade and comfort wherever her children settle. From my team and the legion of Caribbean writers behind us, we bring to you the warmest of welcomes.
Cashew Heist. Between tall shelves of textbooks and classroom equipment, two little heads bobbed. Manuscripts bearing complex titles scrolled across the front covers ensconced the hatching of a devious plan. On the far right of the university bookshop, short, wide racks colored red from the Chinese mango and yellow from the plantain chips lured their attention. Pink frosted kiss cakes and shiny silver-wrapped Bobby chocolates warmed up this cold place. The purple digestive packs and the Devon biscuits in blue brought life to the otherwise clinical feel of the store where the children's mother worked and where they spent every boring afternoon when school was over. Adana was older, 2 years wiser and braver than the impressionable Khalil. There was no question that she was the brains and he would be the brawn, or whatever word you would use to refer to the muscle of a seven-year-old in a cashew nut heist. "It has to be the cashews," Adana barked, still barely breaking the security of their hushed voices as the rackety air conditioning kept their conversation private. Their mother would never let them have a pack of cashews. Actually, she would never let them have anything. Cashew nuts, as any highway shopper knows, is the most expensive by far. The honey-roasted peanuts do not count because that is not real honey. They are definitely mixing brown sugar into the batter. The salted peanuts are a fine contender when you only have singles and don't want to break a 10. The fresh is far too idle, far too pure for two curious children straddling the lines of crime. It had to be the cashews. The risk was that the cashews were kept on the other end of the rack, furthest from the bookshelves. Their mother was at the front counter organizing the receipts. Khalil would be in her plain sight, and the snack rack was off bounds, so they needed a distraction. A couple students walked in, a bushy ponytailed Indian girl clutching her Spanish dictionary, and her chubby Dogla friend spilling out of his jeans, hardly covered by a much too small striped t-shirt. Adana observed them from behind the pencils. They went straight to the languages section and called out to the children's mother. "Do you have the 1994 edition?" the girl asked. "We only seen the old one." She gesticulated toward a large hardcover book, almost as big as her dictionary. The children's mother looked up from behind her glasses, paused, and with a subtle sucking of her teeth, pushed herself back on the ruling chair. She swiveled around and hopped off to go attend to the customers. Adana could not believe their luck. The plan was to wait for a distraction that would be convincing enough to get their mother to move from her station. Then, Khalil will dart towards the snacks, grab a pack of nuts, and shove it into the pocket of his very wide khaki short pants. He was yet to grow into the new school uniform, but for what he lacked in leg, they made up for in hiding space. Adana shoved him, and his eyes opened wide. "I can't," he whined. Before she could shove him harder, the phone rang and their mother quickly rushed back to the front to answer it. They both stopped and retreated to the trenches. The missed opportunity was to be vindicated at the next viable moment, without hesitation or fear. Adana pinched Khalil, schooling him on his manliness and the fact that she was more of a man than he was. Stuttering and holding his throbbing ear, he retorted that he was not a girl like she insinuated. He would even get two packs of cashew nuts to prove it. Another group of teenagers walked in. Adana did not take her eyes off of them. She instructed Khalil to keep his eyes on his own mission. The students came to use the Xerox machine. They did not need any help. Shortly after, a professor walked in. Adana knew he was a professor because he wore a white shirt that held pens in the front pocket. His hair was grey, he wore metal frame glasses, and he carried a book bag strapped to both shoulders. They had spent enough time on campus to be able to identify his type with ease. Perhaps he would distract their mother by holding her in a long conversation. Old people love long talk. Sadly, he only came for his umbrella that he accidentally left behind the day before. He was out the door faster than the ones who came to make photocopies. "How are they so quiet? What mischief you making?" their mother called out as the stack of receipts she had been working on was packed away. They were always reminded that children were to be seen and not heard, yet when they obeyed, they were found suspicious. They couldn't win. It was as though adults expected them to be bad, even when they were not. Adana grabbed her copybook out of her school bag and replied, "I'm showing Khalil the two times table." Their mother appeared at the mouth of the aisle. "What about the social studies project you had to do on Nur Hassan Ali?" she asked. "Come, let me give you a book to look through." She turned around and expected her daughter to follow. Adana glared at Khalil. This was their last chance and he'd better not mess it up again. She walked closely behind her mother to the other end of the bookshop where there was a small table and chair for her to work on her research. Sweat rolled down her ribs while she feigned paying attention to the pages where her mother placed bookmarks. She could not hear her brother. Did he make a run for it? Could he swiftly and quietly enough unhook the cashew nut packs from their clips without attracting attention? There was a crash. "Lord child, what is that?" Their mother ran over to see what Khalil had gotten into. Adana panicked, knowing that her brother could never keep the secret and that his lying capabilities were not yet as sharp as her own. Oh, why did she not just do this alone? Why did she have to involve this incompetent little goody-two-shoes? She scuttled over to do damage control, concocting an explanation for why he might have been in the forbidden area. Khalil stood in the middle of a pile of pencils and pens, with his palms in front of him like he was surrendering. "I bounced my head by accident when I stand up, and the pack of pens fall on me," he blurted out. "I'll help him clean it up, Mummy," his big sister chimed in, as their mother exhaled deeply and nodded. It was almost closing time and she could not be fussed to quarrel with the boy at this late hour. The two children got to their knees and swept up rolling stationery with their hands. Adana was anxious to hear if he had completed the mission. She gave him a look, and through the non-verbal communication siblings have with their eyes, he understood and nodded. He pulled out from each pocket, just halfway, a bag of cashew nuts and smiled. Adana was humbled. They giggled, thinking about their loot, and whispered about eating it when their mother went to take her evening nap at home. He then pulled a whole bag out to hand to his sister, as one was for him and one was for her. She put it into her pocket and froze. "What is that you have there?" The store owner had walked in without them noticing. They were so caught up with their premature celebration that they had abandoned all caution. He pointed at her skirt. Adana was about to produce her pack of nuts, with shame and guilt blinding her. Would it cost their mother her job that she brought these two little thieves with her to work? How much licks would they get, and how many wares would they have to wash to make up for this? But Mr. Singh realized what it is that he saw. "Oh gosh, it's an ink stain from one of these pens. Look at how it dirty up your school skirt." She deflated. "No, Mr. Singh, that was there from before," she replied, words coming together magically since her brain was only just catching up with reality. She had almost confessed. The man smiled at the children before making his way to the counter. Khalil dropped the pencils he was holding and put both hands on his face. Adana rubbed her forearms to relax the hairs that were on end. "That was a close one," Khalil breathed. "We nearly get catch." "Nearly get catch doing what?" their mother said, standing behind them with her head cocked and her eyebrow raised.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please take a moment to follow CocoaPod and turn on your notifications so that you don't miss new stories when they drop. One last thing. Caribbean stories, and Caribbean writers need our help. Show your support by sharing and downloading this podcast as far and as widely as you can. Buy their books, support independent bookshops, and request Caribbean titles from your local libraries. Remember that a rising tide lifts all ships. Give thanks. For more Caribbean storytelling goodness, follow CocoaPod and BCLF Always Lit on all major podcast platforms.